Thanks, Frank, and good to be here today to actually share some thoughts with you. I'll start off. As the transport task grows, this is what's been happening in terms of rail's modal share on most intercapital routes, and it has been in decline. And I would contend that part of Australia's regional rail networks have essentially survived on what I would call drip of ad hoc funding and rescue packages. And you know, we have been guilty in Australia of throwing money on short-term fixes and knowing that that once the money runs out, those problems are going to surface again. So what's the message here? The message here is to have a long-term plan. We also need some new thinking. We need some cultural shifts in our thinking. Traditionally, we've been thinking along single modes. We need to start thinking across supply chain. And I'll also question as to whether we just hone in on freight. I have a view that you can't disentangle the movement of freight from the movement of people. They're so interwoven that you need to look at that problem holistically. So what I'm saying is that silo mentality has to really end. We need to start looking at how end-to-end works, particularly since that's what the operators, that's what the private sector is looking at the end of the day. And the other reason for this change in thinking is that if we go forward, the future policy challenges, whether they be growing urban congestion, climate change, energy security, they're much, much bigger and complex than they've ever been. And in fact, those three issues that I've just mentioned, if we go back 5 years, they probably weren't even on the radar screen in terms of issues. Now, what is the problem we're trying to solve here? And in very simple terms, the problem we're trying to solve is rail productivity. And why is it important? The reason it's important is when you look at productivity in general, as you can see from that graph, productivity is by far and above the largest contributor to economic growth. Very, very simple. That's what's been driving our economy over the last 40-odd years and continues to grow. Except we have fallen behind. We used to be above the OECD average till the mid-90s, thereabouts. Since then, we have fallen behind the OECD average. So we've got a real job ahead of us to increase productivity. So, and what is it about rail productivity? It's about finding better ways to move both people and goods in order to contribute to the economic growth and maintain Australia's global competitiveness. Rail productivity. The NTC has recently released a draft report around rail productivity, and essentially what we would like to see is national policies and planning which promote common sense investment and deliver long-term sustainable investments. And the report we've released, which is open for comment, and we're consulting on that at the moment, it's about securing the right outcomes, and it's without trying to pick winners, without trying to say that should move on road, that should move by rail, or that should move by shipping. And I'd just like to share with you some of these outcomes that have come from the report. Fair pricing. What we're talking about there is ensuring average truck charges do not disadvantage regional rail, for example, in funding decision. And the example I give there is the Productivity Commission found that movements on regional roads were relatively subsidised as a result of road pricing imperfections. So we were not on a level playing field, and we need to get that. Transparency. If governments want to use rail because trucks, we don't want them running through school playgrounds, let's be honest about it. You have a number of situations where regional areas receive community service obligations. Don't have a problem with that, but let's be transparent. That's what we're doing, so we don't distort the price signals out in the market. Track ownership. This about track owners being responsive to user needs, possibly through vertical integration. Now, I know that's controversial, but we do need to look at the where a company actually owns both the assets, like locomotives and wagons, and also owns the track, where competition makes sense. And we've had the Productivity Commission, the Bureau of Transport and Regional Economics, both commenting that separation brings greater costs, and on particular rail lines, where it makes commercial sense, we should allow the vertical integration. So let's be sensible about it. Terminal access. That's about fair access to strategically located rail terminals. A number of reports and studies, including the one we've just completed, have made the case that strategically located terminals in urban areas should have open access terminals. Otherwise, the funding gets duplicated and you end up with inefficiencies. Not forgetting that we've got over 74 odd ports around Australia, so money's tight. If we're going to make investments, let's make them at the strategically significant terminals. And the last one's about better data. And it's about having good rail productivity data, which we can benchmark against the world's best practice to make more informed decisions. We've got a case in the US about data availability is actually mandated by the government. In Australia, there is currently no agreed measure of freight rail productivity. You have a number of organisations, including Brian Nye's organisation, the Bureau of Transport and Regional Economics, ARTC, all collecting data. But often this data is at a very high level and relates mainly to interstate intermodal network. So there's some of the key findings out of this report. Why is it important that we start moving on these findings? If we look out, as you can see from this slide, Australia's international ports face massive forecast growth in container movements, and here in Victoria, Terry articulated that. We're talking about tripling over the next 20 years. And if you look at the East Coast, if you look at Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, it's actually going to quadruple. So what's the message here? The message here is one of working together and smarter as a nation. So we need to take a national perspective. And I'm the very first one to say that all state governments and territories do some terrific transport planning, but unfortunately they tend to stop at the borders in general, rather than looking at it from a supply chain perspective. So that's the sort of cultural shift we need to make. Australia currently has a large network of ports competing for the same trade and pursuing their own commercial interests and growth objectives. Many of those ports are serviced by small intermodal hubs located close to urban communities and serviced by poor road and rail connections. And I think that's a thing that will be coming through loud and clear today. And recently you had a recent parliamentary inquiry into coastal shipping which observed the lack of a cohesive national development plan for ports and landside infrastructure links, including buffer zones, land banking and land use planning. We do need better national land use planning to preserve freight corridors to support the enormous future growth that we're facing. Otherwise, what's likely to happen is we're going to sell off the land to basically housing developers, and it's going to leave a pretty nasty sort of legacy of transport bottlenecks and pretty angry urban residents as well. So unless this is addressed, it will be a drag on the national economy. In terms of working together, we had Austlink's corridor planning. We also had Australian Rail Track Corporation's interstate rail network. They both delivered some pretty good national outcomes. And the point I'm going to make is that governments need to take that national planning a step further from that And that's to learn from industry the benefits of working together for common goals. And a good example of that is probably the industry-led coordination in the Hunter Valley Coal Supply Chain Logistics Team and the Port and Botany and Rail Logistics Team. They weren't talking to one another. And that's why you had problems getting the coal out last year before the crisis hit. So what you have is all parties in the supply chain putting their competitive differences aside and working cooperatively in order to increase capacity to the benefit of all. And the comment I like, or the quote I'd like to use, is Steve O'Connell, who's a consultant who did a study around Goonyella coal supply chain, and he made the observation that the situation where investments are being made without concurrent investment in other parts of the supply chain should never be allowed to happen again. Rail regulation. NTC is currently developing a proposal for a single national rail safety regulator. Why? Because it makes sense. Why does it make sense? And the way I explain that is, in Australia we've got 7 rail regulators for a population of 21 million people. In the US, in contrast, the US has got a population of around 300 million people, 50 states, and it's got 1 national rail regulator, safety regulator. Why are we any different? For a fraction of the population, a fraction in terms of states and territories, is there really a need to have 7 rail regulators? It's just, not only doesn't it make sense on an economic sense, it just doesn't make sense on the common sense. So hopefully we'll see that being pursued and setting up a national rail regulator, and I suspect Brian Nye may have a few comments to make on that. In conclusion, in terms of the rail productivity report that we've released, industry has been pretty supportive of the draft recommendations, and I shared some of those with you today. In essence, what the report calls for is long-term solutions, and in fact, as Peter Fitzgerald pointed out, if you read the financial review today on pages 6 and 7, we're currently losing export sales around wheat in the west because of rail and port bottlenecks. And the reason why is because a lot of the fixes that were identified a number of years ago have been short-term fixes. So they were fixed. They've surfaced again. Short-term fixes are not enduring. So we need a national plan. On that note, I'll thank you for your attention. Thank you.